The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, the adventures of Captain Courage. We'll also hear the case of the candy store murder on The Lineup, starring William Johnstone. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY and 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, William Johnstone stars as Detective Ben Guthrie on The Lineup. In a moment, an episode of The Adventures of Captain Courage. But first, from 1950, here's Hank Williams with Cold, Cold Heart as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
I try so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Another love before my time made your heart sad and blue. And so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words are said that make the teardrops start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? You'll never know how much it hurts to see you sit and cry. You know you need and want my love, yet you're afraid to try. Why do you run and hide from life? To try it just ain't smart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? There was a time when I believed that you belonged to me. But now I know your heart is shackled to a memory. The more I learn to care for you, the more we drift apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
What type of man is the head of your house? Is he rugged in the great outdoors? Does he help with household chores? Whichever type he is, he's bound to be the Old Spice type. So you and the kids treat him to Old Spice by Schulten, finest grooming aids a man can use. Give Old Spice aftershave lotion, brisk and bracing, happiest ending a shave ever had, or something new in sets. Aftershave lotion, men's cologne, and stick deodorant. Handy for travel in a bright red box. Or splurge with the captain's box. Five great grooming aids in one handsome box. There's a wide selection of Old Spice gifts finest grooming aids a man can use.
Old Spice means quality,
said the captain to the bosun, and on the package with the ship that sails the ocean.
Adventure of Captain Courage, being the first in the Monday through Friday entries transcribed from the log of the ship Falcon. We invite you to join us each evening at this time as we present the story of an American sailing captain and his ship, whose cargo is action, intrigue, and romance, as it burns across the pages of America's sailing history. And now, starring Ted DeCorsia, we present the Adventure of Captain Courage.
Being the first entry to be read from the log of the schooner Falcon. 2nd October, 1810, Long Wharf, New Bedford. She is as ready as she might be. We could wish for a new set of sail. Those we have are as patched as a mate's work trousers. But we'll have to do it. She's not pretty to look at, being in need of paint and general outfitting. But with our first cargo in 6 months, we'll have enough money to put her in top shape. To make her what she really is. The fastest and best schooner on the Atlantic seaboard. All going well, today my mate, Mr. Bragg, will be signing up the crew. The weather is moderate, a pleasant breeze and cloudy. Christopher Courage, master. I don't like the look of those rattlings, Mr. Bragg.
Aye, Captain. I don't either.
But that's not convincing the outfitters to give us new rope. Can't you get just a little out of Marlin? Hard money's what they want, Chris. Are you going ashore?
Yes.
Well, you might stop by and see what you can do. They told me no more credit. And we need topsail sheet blocks, quarter blocks, about 40 fathoms of cable, not to talk about carpenter tackle and provisions. And the sails. Oh, Chris, the first gale we hit.
We've got this far, Tom. We'll make out. So stop your howling and see what you can dig up for a crew. I'll be at Marlin's on Water Street if you want me.
A crew? And what am I supposed to offer him for pay?
I don't care what you offer him. Get me a crew, mister.
Hey, you.
You calling me?
I ain't talking to the wind. You know of a ship in these parts looking for a good hand? I sailed bosun last voyage. Things is almighty tight now, though. Haven't felt the sea under me for nigh on to 3 months.
Well, then you're in luck, mister. I'm looking for a crew.
You? What's your ship?
Falcon, yonder.
Yeah, scurvy-looking barge. I ain't looking for a slaver nor a hog pen.
She's neither, mister.
What's your name?
Courage. Christopher Courage.
Yeah, Courage. I wouldn't have judged so by the cut of you.
Now step aside, mister. I'm late for an appointment.
Walk around me, then.
Mister, I put on a clean shirt this morning. I don't want it fouled with your blood.
Oh, Captain, dear, I love you for saying that.
You shouldn't have done that, mister.
I like you better, Christopher Courage. The last man I hit like that stayed asleep for 2 days.
You need some help, Chris.
Well, thank you, Tom. Now, mister.
Will you give me a hand, Captain?
There, get hold of the rope.
The water is very wet and cold this morning.
That helps to cool a man off.
I'm obliged to you. I haven't enjoyed a fight as much for a long time. I liked your name, Captain. And I like you. I always wanted to serve under a man who could whip me. If you've no hard feelings, sir, will you sign me aboard?
I've no hard feelings. What's your name?
Silas Davenport. I got me papers. What though they be? Where's the Falcon bound?
I was on my way to find that out.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'd like to be with you.
Tom!
Aye, sir.
This is Mr. Davenport. You can sign him on as bosun.
Am I going to have to fight him first?
Not today, mister. I had enough today.
One thing, Davenport.
Aye, sir.
As you can see, Falcon carries no guns.
Letters of marque to make a privateer come expensive these days. $20,000 it cost from the last I heard.
That's true. I want you to know the risk when we sail.
I'll take the risk. And happy to.
Good. You can help Mr. Bragg round out the crew. I'll be back later.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hey, Captain. I'm sorry I got your shirt dirty.
Well, well, Captain Courage. What a pleasure, sir. Oh, you've met with an accident, sir. You're not sure.
The accident happened to somebody else, sir. I must apologize for my appearance.
Oh, no apologies are necessary, sir. None at all. Sit down, sit down.
Oh, thank you.
And how are we progressing?
Well, the Falcon's ready to sail, as ready as she ever will be, Mr. Marlin.
Excellent.
I'd feel a sight more comfortable, though, if I had some money to...
But you haven't, Captain. I'm speculating on this voyage every bit as much as you are. The consignment has taken my last penny. The rest is up to you.
Yes. All right. What about the cargo? When do you want me to start loading?
Oh, the cargo, yes. Well, immediately, Captain, as soon as you possibly can.
Good. Now, I think we'd better get down to those details you passed by when you hired me.
The details. Oh, yes. Well, I'd say that they were more in the nature of provisions than details.
Provisions?
The cargo consists of sugar, tobacco, and assorted goods. They are sacked and kegged and waiting in my warehouse. You will ask no questions about it, nor about your destination.
What? I don't understand. You hire me to carry a cargo and you won't tell me where?
As far as you and the customs authorities are concerned, you are shipping my cargo to Martinique.
Well, that's fine, but where am I really taking it?
Your sailing orders will be delivered to you 10 minutes before weighing anchor. However, I can tell you that you'll be bound for a West Indies port.
Smuggling? Now, Mr. Marlin.
Oh, I've said nothing about smuggling. Oh, believe me, sir, the cargo will be inspected and found to be in perfect order.
Hmm. Oh, that's one of the provisions, Mr. Marlin. You said there were others.
Oh, one other, Captain. Come with me, please. This is my other provision, sir. My niece, Miss Nancy Marlin. Captain Courage, my dear. You remember my speaking of him. He's in command of the Falcon.
Captain?
Miss Marlin.
She will be a passenger aboard your ship.
No, sir.
No?
I am not carrying women on my ship, Mr. Marlin. I'm sorry.
There is a distinction, Captain, between what you call women and a lady. I should be happier if you'd recognize that distinction.
Captain, consider your circumstances, if you will.
I have. I'm aware of them.
There are many ships in New Bedford and few merchants with the will to allow their cargoes to sail. Thus, we would have no problem in obtaining ourselves another, Captain. Am I correct, sir?
Completely, sir. So, obtain yourself another captain. I've never taken a lady aboard a ship of mine, and I don't intend to start now. There's no decent cabin. You know what the Falcon is. She's a merchantman. Fast enough, but room for cargo and crew, and that's all.
Oh, I'm aware of that, but I'm sure you could somehow, during the time it takes you to load, put together makeshift quarters so that Miss Marlin would be reasonably comfortable.
Mr. Marlin, I think what you're trying to say is that if I don't agree to carry this passenger, you're no longer interested in my commission.
I should hate to put it that way, sir.
Yeah, but at the risk of hating yourself, you do put it that way.
You don't think that I'd find it any less distasteful than you, do you, Captain? I can think of traveling in far more pleasant surroundings than you have to offer.
But look here, sir.
No, you look, Mr. Marlin. I need your cargo. I need it badly. Well, you've asked me to close my eyes about my sailing orders. Now you want me to take her with me. There's enough trouble at sea between the French and English. I'm willing to take the risk with your cargo if you are, but I'm not taking the risk of your niece. I'm sorry.
Captain, I will give you and every one of your crew a handsome bonus when you make safe delivery.
Just as you said, Mr. Marlin. New Bedford is packed with sailing masters who jump at the chance of a cargo. I'd be happy to recommend two or three.
You're the man I want for the job.
I'm sorry.
Just a moment, Captain, if you please. There is a matter of a written contract between us bearing your signature. That is correct, is it not?
Tear it up.
But I do not wish to tear it up. I wish it to be fulfilled.
Not by me.
By you, Captain Curry.
Take it to the courts.
Oh, I shan't have to. It's binding. This has been proved in the courts. Do you know, sir, that I could quite easily have your master's license revoked were you to refuse compliance with your contract?
I've decided something, Mr. Marlin. I don't like you or anything you have to say.
Oh, possibly so. But we return to the matter of the contract.
What happens if I go to customs and inform them that you're falsifying the sailing orders?
I shall tell them that you're lying. Besides which, I haven't said that you're not sailing for Martinique. It's not against the authority laws to give you sailing orders when and as I please.
It's not in my contract to carry passengers.
Exactly. Neither is it in your contract that you shan't carry them. That, my dear sir, is at the discretion of the merchants. I am the merchant. I request you to carry Miss Marlin. Either that or...
When do you want me to sail?
As soon as the cargo is aboard. Oh, it should take no more than 3 days to load.
I'll take no responsibility for Miss Marlin's safety, whatever happens to her.
We both understand, Captain.
All right.
Oh, good man, good. I feel this is the beginning of a most happy relationship. And now, sir, I think a glass of wine is indicated to wish the bargain well. You'll join us?
Oh, yes, Captain. Please do.
Thank you, ma'am. No. I find it necessary to do business with your uncle, but I'll drink with whom I please. Good afternoon.
Evening, Chris.
Where have you been? It's 8 bells.
Where have I been? Did you send me out to buy you a crew, or did you not?
And how many pints of rum did you pour into yourself?
Oh, now, Captain, it takes talk to get a crew. Friendly talk. Well, the men want to feel their mate's one of the lads. I made him feel that. Besides that eight-man Davenport, we've got a starter of 19 and a ship's carpenter among them.
Not enough. We need 40. We sail on Friday.
Well, it's more like how many more we'll be lucky to get. I had 8 more ready to sign on till they saw our lovely Falcon, and they wouldn't have none of us.
Tom, I want 40.
Well, it won't be easy, Chris. The Falcon's no screaming duty, the new, and there's not many good men in New Bedford to be had.
We'll find them. Oh, there's one other thing, mister.
Hey, what's that?
A passenger will be coming aboard probably Friday.
Well, that's all right.
We're going to have to... Yes?
Captain Courage, will you kindly get someone to carry my luggage to my cabin? I shall be remaining on your ship until we sail.
The Adventure of Captain Courage, starring Ted DeCourcier, is produced, written, and directed in Hollywood by Anthony Ellis and William Conrad. Listen again tomorrow night to another in the Monday through Friday entry transcribed from the log of the ship Falcon, the story of a man who filled the pages of America's sailing history with action and romance. Tomorrow night, Christopher Courage is faced with the problem of having to create living quarters aboard the Falcon for Nancy Marlin, the girl who is to have a great effect on the captain's future. This is the CBS Radio Network.
If you're swinging, if you're boating, if you're pitching, if you're floating, you need Nestle's Quicken Milk this summer. If you you're training, you're racing, try the Drinklets. Really bracing. It's nasty, quick and melts this summer.
Delicious chocolatey Quick makes the most wonderful energy drink. Gives you all the health of milk plus Quick's own vitamins and iron. Never sticky sweet, so it really quenches thirst. Get cool, get a great chocolatey treat, and get lots of energy builders.
Take a tip from all us bright kids. It's the drink that's really right, kids. Ask for Nestle's Quick and Milk this summer. Oh. N-E-S-T-L-E-S. Nestle's makes the very best
chocolate.
A walking dream. I dreamed about you. A walking dream. Can't do without you. A lovely dream. Just can't forget you. Cause you're so dreamy, peach and creamy, walking dream. Now keep on walking, keep on talking, and I'll do my best to make the rest of this lovely dream come true. A walking dream. I want you near me. A walking dream. A walking dream. My heart is yearning. A walking dream. My lips are burning. A lovely dream. Of love I'm learning. Cause you're surprising, tantalizing, walking dream.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio and Patsy Cline with Walking Dream from 1958. We also heard an episode of The Adventures of Captain Courage. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. William Johnstone stars as Detective Ben Guthrie on an episode of The Lineup and entitled The Case of the Candy Store Murder, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup. These chairs in the front, any of them?
Oh, yes. Can I smoke, Lieutenant?
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, thanks. Just put one out.
How is the woman?
Well, the operator this morning. She's pretty low.
And the man who owned the car?
We picked him up.
Did he do it?
That's what we want you to tell us, Mr. Dill.
Well, I got a good look.
I know.
I can tell you all right.
I hope so.
May I have your attention, please? You people on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number.
Oh, sure, I can tell you all right.
If you're sure or not too sure of a suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the bathroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. Okay, okay, move it along, move it along. That's good. Now turn and face front, hands to your sides. Look straight ahead. You raise your head. Okay. Number one, Albert Bartok. Assault. Where do you live, Albert?
19137 Fuller.
What's your business, Albert?
You couldn't make it, Al, could you?
What's your business, Albert?
I'm not working.
Why did you hit your wife?
Because I'm not working. She keeps reminding me. For 2 years, she reminds me. Morning, night, and noon, she reminds me. It depressed me.
You hit her with a chair.
Was the nearest thing. Every time I tried to sit down, she grabbed my hair. She wouldn't give me no peace, so when she grabbed my hair, I grabbed the chair.
Number two, Henry Ingram, vagrancy.
Oh, Sergeant.
This is twice this month, Henry.
Yes, Sergeant. I just got out.
Why were you trying to catch the duck?
I was walking through the park. I saw the duck. I wasn't trying to catch it. I was trying to pet it. I like ducks.
You ruined the whole flower bed trying to pet it.
Yes, Sergeant.
Number three, Martin Cerruti, theft. I told you to keep your head up.
Okay, okay.
Where do you live, Cerruti?
I'm from Denver.
We know that. Where do you live here?
I don't. I just got off the train.
You stole a coat from the Wheelwright department store.
I forgot to take it off.
All right, you've got a place to live now. Number four, John Wolcott, armed robbery, murder.
Hey, Lieutenant, where can I put out my cigarette?
In the floor.
What's your business, John?
I run a gas station.
Where, John?
Corner of 105th and Sutton Place.
On the night of November 12th, you held up the Albert Candy Store.
No, I didn't, Sergeant.
You and another unidentified man shot the owner, Mr. Gus Alver, and his wife, Dora.
I had nothing to do with it.
That's the charge, John.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Yeah?
That's him. Yeah, he's the one I chased.
Are there any questions? That's him. I'm positive. From the audience?
Lieutenant?
Yeah?
I think
any
he's
questions
the one.
Or four. Identifications
yes, that's right.
From
he's the
audience,
the one
please. Sergeant Graham.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Number four, hold for interrogation. Sit down, John.
All right.
Liable to be a little rough on you.
I didn't do anything. I told you before, I didn't do anything.
One witness, a Mr. Dill, chased a man, saw him climb into a station wagon, got the license number. It turned out to be your car, John. In the lineup this morning, Mr. Dill identified you as the man he chased.
He's wrong.
Two other men and a woman also identified you. They all agree they saw you run out of that candy store with another man. The owner of that store died last night.
I'm sorry.
His wife's in bad shape. But she'll live.
Look, I've never been in that candy store. I didn't shoot anybody.
You live with your brother?
Yes.
George Walker?
Yes.
Where was he that night?
You keep asking. He went to a movie.
And he didn't take the station wagon?
I told you, no, he didn't take the station wagon.
Does George have a key to the station wagon?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Does he have a key?
No, no, no. He didn't take the car out of the garage that night.
Somebody did, John.
All right, somebody took it out. I didn't. George didn't. Go find out who.
When Mrs. Alber is better, when the doctors say it's all right for us to see him, we'll ask her for an identification.
Okay.
Two men held up a store, killed her husband. Four witnesses have already identified you as one of the men. Mrs. Alba will know for sure.
She won't forget who killed her husband.
Okay.
I got the brother in your office, Ben.
All right.
Nothing?
Not yet. Take this one back upstairs.
Uh-huh.
Hello, George.
Hello, Lieutenant Guthrie.
George, your brother's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I know.
He sticks with his story. Says he didn't leave the house that night. Says he didn't use the station wagon. Says you didn't either.
I didn't.
You went to a movie.
That's right.
The Rivoli, wasn't it?
I gave a long statement this morning, Lieutenant. I signed it.
Somebody used that station wagon. When the arresting officers got to your house, the motor was still warm.
I didn't use it, and I know my brother didn't.
You think somebody could have gotten that car out of the garage without your brother hearing it?
I don't know. Maybe they could.
Hold up a candy store, shoot two people, bring it right back to the garage?
I don't know. I just know I didn't use it, and I know my brother didn't either. He didn't hold up a candy store or shoot anybody. My brother wouldn't do anything like that.
What time did you get home?
I have to keep telling you.
You have to keep telling me.
Around 12 o'clock, or maybe a little after. There was a cop waiting for me. He'll remember what time better than I do.
You went to the movie?
Yeah.
What time did you get to the movie?
After 8 sometime.
What was playing?
2 pictures, Mr. Lucky and A Lady Takes a Chance.
They're reissues, aren't they?
I saw them before, a long time ago. They're good ones. I wanted to see them again.
Your brother runs a gas station, doesn't he?
Yeah.
How late does he work?
Usually, around 7.
How does your brother do in his gas station?
He does all right. Makes pretty good money.
You don't work?
No, I've been looking for a job.
How old are you, George?
22.
John's 28.
Yeah.
When did your mother and father die?
Mom died when we were kids. Dad, about 5 years ago.
And John's been supporting you?
I told you I was trying to get a job. It's not easy.
Well, I want to talk to you again. Stick around home.
Sure, Lieutenant. My brother didn't do it, Lieutenant.
Awful lot of evidence, George.
But he didn't.
We'll talk about it later. Bye, George.
Goodbye, Lieutenant.
Hard?
Yes, Lieutenant.
George Walcott's coming out. Put a man on him.
Right.
What's the matter, Ben? You look unhappy.
I'm tired. You want some coffee?
You got it made?
No, but it'll only take a second.
Well, you won't have time. The hospital called. It's all right to see Mrs. Albert.
Oh, okay.
Hey, here's the report on John Walcott. On good months, he averages about $300 clear, pays $85 a month on the mortgage.
A lot of people doing a whole lot worse. Let's get Walcott and take him down to the hospital with us.
Mrs. Albert.
Hmm? Yes? What is it?
This is Lieutenant Guthrie and Sergeant Greb. They want to talk to you.
All right.
We won't take long.
All right.
We want you to tell us if you've ever seen this man before.
Move up, John.
Right in here. Mrs. Albert?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Could he be one of the men who held up your store?
I don't know. He looks... I don't know. He isn't the one who shot us. The one with the gun.
He isn't?
No. He's not that one.
You sure?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
Well, Mrs. Albert, several people say they saw this man run away from your store.
I don't remember the other one too well. The one who stood by the door. Happened so quick. The man with the gun. He's the one I remember. He was in the middle of the room. It all happened so quick. The other one I didn't really notice.
I think that's about enough for now, Lieutenant.
My husband's dead.
We'll do everything we can, Mrs. Alma.
What can you do? He's dead. That's all. Hope you didn't have anything to do with it, young man. I hope for your sake you didn't. It's a terrible thing.
Hello?
Thanks, Matt. Yeah?
They're here, Lieutenant.
Oh, all right. Send in Mr. Dill first.
Well, is the coffee all right?
Whew, hot.
Mr. Dill, Lieutenant.
Come in, Mr. Dill.
How are you, Lieutenant?
You met Sergeant Graham?
Yes. Hello, Sergeant.
Hello, Mr. Dill. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Mr. Dill, we know definitely the man you identified this morning wasn't the one who actually did the killing.
He was one of the men who ran away from that storm.
Well, we're interested in the other man now. What did he look like?
Well, it all happens fast. Like I told you, I was just walking by when I heard the shot and then the scream. The door to the store flew open. Two men came out. They were running. The first one, the one in front, was the one I pointed out the lineup.
You didn't notice the other man?
No, not exactly. I got kind of a look at him, but it all happens fast. I guess I was more interested in the other one, the one I recognized.
You don't think you could identify the other one?
Well, they separated, like I told you. They started running in different directions. I went after the one who climbed in the station wagon, and I got his license number.
You went right after him?
Well, I took a look in the store first. I wanted to see what was going on.
Then you went after him?
Well, I went after the one with the station wagon, yes. I saw the two people lying on the floor, blood, and... Well, I just went after him.
How far did you chase him before he got in the station wagon?
Oh, about a block, I guess.
And how far away from him were you when he drove the station wagon off?
Oh, I don't know. I guess about 50 feet.
Were you across from the station wagon or behind it?
I was behind it. I was chasing.
Yes, I know, but he didn't cut across the street? The station wagon wasn't parked on the other side of the street?
No, he just ran up the block. Station wagon was parked on the same side of the street.
Well, did he turn around and look back at anything?
Well, I don't remember. I don't think so. He just ran up to the car and drove off before I could catch him.
But you recognize
him? Oh, sure, the man this morning in the lineup.
You don't remember anything about the other one?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
All right, Mr. Dillon.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all, and thank you.
Oh, sure. Any time.
Mr. Dill.
Yes?
If this man was running away from you, you were behind him the whole time. You were about 50 feet away behind the wagon when he drove off. Now, I should think it would be a little hard to tell much about a man under those circumstances.
Well, I got a good look. Oh, a darn good look.
You said he didn't turn around.
Well, no, I don't think he did. I don't remember that well. I got a look at him when he ran out that door. Oh, he went right past me. Oh, I got a look at him then.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Dill, that's all.
Yeah, well, he was the guy. I got a good look. Yeah. Oh, you think you'll want me again?
We'll call you if we do. What are you doing, Ben?
Trying to get a description of the man who used the gun.
Yeah, and while you're doing it, you practically made Dill a liar. The way he tells it, or I should say the way you got it out of him, he couldn't have made a positive identification of a man who ran past him through a doorway, then showed him his back for the rest of the time.
Yeah, I know. In the lineup this morning, Dill and the others didn't say a word until they heard you read off the charges. But before they went in, they knew whoever we had was the one who owned the station wagon.
Okay. Explain me the station wagon. Dill got the license number. The car was still warm.
Yes, I know.
Well, then what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to find out who killed the man in the candy store.
By making a liar out of the best witness you've got?
Who's making a liar?
Well, you're trying pretty hard.
Well, do you mind if we find out what the other three witnesses have got to say?
Well, you don't have to get jumpy.
I don't. Oh, swell.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Send in Mrs. Evans.
I'm sorry, Ben.
Maybe you better put some more sugar in your coffee, huh?
Okay, nobody remembers the second man. Everybody remembers the first. Everybody remembers the first. Everybody claims they recognized the guy as he came out the door.
Running.
Yeah, running. So maybe because they knew Wolcott owned the station wagon, they jumped to identify him.
Yeah, we've had wrong identifications before.
Yes, but that's the station wagon. That's the car one of the holdup men jumped into. Four people, three men and a woman, claimed they recognized the guy. So suppose they really didn't get a good look at him. It was Wolcott's station wagon. Dill got the license number. Two of the other witnesses saw Dill chase the guy, saw the wagon pull away. One of them even identified the make of the wagon.
Yeah?
Sergeant Quine on the phone, Lieutenant.
Okay. Quine's tailing George Wolcott. Yes, Quine. You ever see the man? What's the address of the pool? Who's the girl? Paul? Uh-huh. Well, all right. Stay with him. I'm going out for a while.
Oh, what do you got?
I don't know. I don't want to check it. Quine says George Walcott met a man in a pool room, talked with him for a long time, and then went over to see a girl named Hall. It may be nothing, but I'm going to do some checking.
Sure, I know Walcott. Plays snooker in here all the time.
Hey, you know his brother?
Nope, didn't know he had one.
George met a man in here today. They left, went across the street to get a shoe shine. Tall, thin man, dark, wearing a brown jacket, light pants.
Rudy.
Rudy?
Rudy Garvin. He plays in here all the time, too. Buddy of George's. They pal around a lot.
Rudy Garvin.
You know him?
Yeah.
I don't like him. Slimy kind of a guy.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah, I kind of remember him.
Well, you gave him a shine. Tall, thin, dark man, brown jacket like pants.
Yeah, I think so.
With a younger fellow, brown hair.
Yeah, about an hour ago.
Pay any attention to what they were saying?
No, sir, I just shined the shoes.
Yeah?
Miss Hall?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Guthrie, police.
Oh. What do you want?
I'd like to talk to you.
Come in. Apartment's a mess.
You know George Walcott?
Yeah. He done something?
He came to see you a little while ago.
Sure, I know him. We're just friends. He done something?
You know Rudy Garvin?
Yeah. Friend of George's.
What did George want?
Just say hello. He just stopped by to say hello.
How well do you know him?
Not too well. We're just friends.
You know his brother?
No. Never met him.
How well do you know Rudy Garvin?
Like I know George. Say, what is this?
Where were you last night?
Last night? Home. I stayed home all night. I was going to clean the apartment, but I got to reading a book.
Did you see or talk to George or Rudy any time last night?
No. Gee, I sure would like to know what this is all about. Did the boys do something dishonest?
You just forget about it, Miss Hall. You just forget about talking to me.
Sure.
Thanks for your help.
Anytime. Sure sorry the apartment's such a mess.
The file on Rudy Garvin, Ben, and his pictures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a dozen arrests, 2 convictions, petty theft and possession. A cheap hood with a nasty disposition thinks he's tough.
Yeah.
Here's Quine's last report on George Walcott. Tailed him from the girls to the east side of town where he met the same man he met in the pool hall.
Rudy Garvin.
Young Walcott's in his house now. Quine staked out across the street.
Check on this, Miss Hall. Here's the address. Put a man over there to watch you.
Right.
I'll check back. I'm going down to the hospital and show this picture of Rudy Garvin to Mrs. Alba.
She's a lot worse. She's had a bad time.
Is she conscious?
She was. Mrs. Alba.
Yes.
Mrs. Alba, the lieutenant's here again. He wants to talk to you.
Hello, Mrs. Alba.
Oh. Hello, Lieutenant.
I won't take much time. I want you to look at this picture.
All right. Lieutenant.
Yes?
Lieutenant, that's the man.
You're sure?
That's the man with the gun. The one who shot me. That's the one. He killed Gus.
Quine brought in George Walcott about 5 minutes ago.
Uh-huh. What about Rudy Garvin?
Well, we're checking.
Hello, George.
Hello, Lieutenant. What's this all about?
Now stay in the chair, George.
What's this all about? Why'd that cop bring me in?
Well, we wanted to talk to you some more, George, about your brother.
Oh.
A couple of things have come up. Made us kind of change our mind about him.
You mean you don't think he did it?
We're pretty sure he didn't.
Well, I told you so. He wouldn't stick up a store or shoot anybody.
No, I guess not.
He just isn't the kind.
He knows who did stick up that store, though. He knows who was using that station wagon.
Well, why doesn't he tell you?
Oh, he's probably protecting somebody.
You think it's me? You think I stuck up that store?
Somebody took that station wagon.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I told you that. I told you I was on a show.
What show, George?
I told you.
The Rivoli?
Yeah.
You're a pretty good snooker player, I hear.
Snooker?
How long have you known Rudy Garvin, George?
Oh, about, I don't know, a couple of years, I guess. Why? What do you want to know about Rudy for?
What were the two movies you saw, George?
Lady Takes a Chance and Mr. Lucky.
What time did you get to the theater?
About 8, I guess.
You sure?
Yeah, about 8.
You met Garvin today at a pool hall.
So what?
You talked with him, and then you went over to see a girl named Hall.
Yeah, that's right. What's the matter with that?
Do you have a key to that station wagon, George?
Well, yeah, John and me, we both got keys. What do you want to know about Rudy for?
He's got a record. He's a tough boy to get mixed up with.
I didn't know he had a record.
What time did you leave the house before you went to the movie, George?
Around 7.
7? Rivoli's not far from your house. What did you do from 7 to 8?
I stopped in the pool hall and shot a game.
You run into Rudy Garvin?
No, I didn't see him that night.
You didn't drive the station wagon?
No, I sure didn't.
Your brother's a pretty nice guy.
He's all right. Look, I didn't do this thing. Why do you think I had something to do with it?
What picture was playing when you got to the movie?
Mr. Lucky.
They had a newsreel, I suppose.
Yeah.
Your brother's been supporting you for a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, I told you I was trying to get a job.
You went out looking for a job?
Yeah.
Where'd you go? Who'd you see?
Well, I saw a lot of people. I don't remember all of them.
Name a couple.
Well, gee, in the last couple of weeks, I haven't been looking so
hard. What
did
you see the girl for today?
Betty?
Last name's Hall.
Yeah, Betty Hall.
What'd you see her for?
Well, I just went over to see her. For nothing, just to see her.
What part of Mr. Lucky did you get in on?
What part?
Yeah, what part was happening, you know, what was happening in the story when you walked in?
Well, have you seen it?
Yeah, we've seen it.
Well, you remember the part when they had the big gambling party?
Yeah.
Well, that was the part when I walked in. Cary Grant had all that money wrapped up in a...
Where did the newsreel come in? End of the show? Between pictures?
Between the pictures.
What time did you get out of the show?
About 11:30, I guess. I got back to the house around 12, and I met the cop who took me down here.
And you didn't drive the station wagon?
No.
And you didn't see Rudy Garvin?
No.
The woman who was shot identified Garvin as the man who shot her.
Well, I can't help that. I wasn't with Rudy. I didn't see him.
You
that
saw
night.
Both pictures?
Yes.
You've seen them before, haven't you?
Well, yeah, they're old pictures, but I liked them. I saw them again. I told you that, Lieutenant.
You didn't take a message from Rudy Garvin to Betty Hall?
No. No, I left Rudy, and I just decided to stop by and
what
see
what was the
her.
Newsreel about?
The newsreel?
Yeah, what was it about?
Well, I don't know. I left in the middle.
You left in the middle of it?
No, I didn't mean that.
Well, what was it about?
I don't remember. You can't expect me to remember everything.
You remember the two pictures?
Well, yeah, sure.
Then you should remember the newsreel. Have something about Korea?
Why?
Truman?
Last week's football games?
I don't remember. You can't blame me for that.
The candy store was robbed about 9. That would be about the time the newsreel went on.
I don't remember the newsreel. I think I went out to get some popcorn.
You were out for the whole newsreel?
Maybe I was.
What went on after the newsreel?
The other picture.
Didn't they have any coming attractions or anything? They usually do.
Yeah, they had coming attractions.
What were they?
I don't remember that either.
You remember both pictures, but you don't remember the newsreel or the coming attractions?
No.
Which was first, the newsreel or the coming attractions?
The newsreel.
How do you know that?
Because I saw it start, and then I went to get the popcorn.
How did it start?
I don't remember.
Then the coming attractions went on?
Yes.
I thought you said the other picture went on after the newsreel. I think you better tell us where you really were, George.
Okay.
Get a stenographer, man.
Right.
Cigarette, George?
Yeah.
Where can we find Rudy Garvin?
Over at Betty's apartment. That's where I went by to tell her that Rudy'd be by around 9 tonight. They're leaving town. Will you let my brother go now?
There's two cars at the end of the street. Quine and Asher are around back, 2 men at each side of the building. Quine and Asher moved everybody out except the girl. She's still in there, hasn't left her room.
What time is it?
9:00.
Well, Rudy's late.
we take him on the street?
No, he's got a gun. Better wait.
Klein said the landlady was a little unhappy, afraid she was going to get her place shot up.
Well, I hope she doesn't.
There's a cab.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's Garvin. Let him get into the building. All right, let's go. Second floor. Third door.
Yeah? Who is it?
George.
What do you want? What do you want?
Look out, Matt! Garvin's pretty bad.
You better get an ambulance. Boy, we sure wrecked this place.
Don't worry about it. Betty never cleans it anyway.
The lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. The lineup stars William Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, and was written by Blake Edwards with music composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Howard McNear, Raymond Burr, Sam Edwards, Clayton Post, Hi Averback, Jeanette Nolan, and Gene Tatum. The lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. Every weekday evening, Monday through Friday, two of radio's top reporters, Edward R. Murrow and Lowell Thomas, are heard on most of these same CBS stations, backed by the resources of CBS' famous worldwide news-gathering organization. Ed Murrow and Lowell Thomas bring you the facts of the day's events, plus the color and background they've gathered in years of world travel and reporting. Get the news first and best from Ed Murrow and Lowell Thomas each weekday evening on CBS. This is CBS, the Star's Address, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Two fellas who certainly know their way around the popular music world will be guest experts on Songs for Sale tomorrow night on CBS. Join Frank Sinatra and Johnny Mercer with Jan Murray and the others on Songs for Sale this Friday night. And also be listening for that hour of top drama with Up for Parole and Broadway's My Beat. They'll all be here on most of these same CBS stations.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and an episode of The Lineup starring William Johnstone. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.